Welcome to the program, God and Country, a program where we discuss current events in the light of the Bible, God's Word. I'm your Bible teacher and host, Pastor Brad Winship. Are you familiar with the ninth commandment? Most people are. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. The common interpretation of this verse is, thou shalt not lie. But understand that the language here includes something much more broad. Bearing false witness or testimony is a prohibition against any misleading conduct or speech. Now, this commandment is big, really big. And in the next half hour, I want you to see the full ramifications of this command. Here are some key verses. Ephesians 4:21, but the truth is in Jesus. Ephesians 4:25, therefore lay aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor. 1 John 3:19, we will know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our hearts before him. Because we are of the truth, we are to put aside falsehood. The kingdom of Satan is built on lies, for he is the prince of lies. The foundation of his whole ideology is a lie. But we are God's people. We are of the truth. Why is truth important? The theological explanation is that God wants reality represented correctly. God created certain things and values to be in a certain way, and if a person says it's not so, it is an attack on God's character. As the people of the truth, we must represent reality as it truly is. Now, the biblical history of ancient Israel is a record of what happens when a nation abandons God. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 3, the prophet Jeremiah says, lies and not truth prevail in the land, for they proceed from evil to evil. One of the first things that happen when a people forsake God is that they begin to tell lies. They begin to live a lie. They no longer can discern the truth. Jeremiah 9:4, let every one of you be on guard against his neighbor, and do not trust any brother, because every brother deals craftily. Because the nation became a nation of liars, mutual trust had broken down. The nation lost its cohesiveness. Everyone had to be on guard against his neighbor. In Jeremiah 9:5, everyone deceives his neighbor and does not speak the truth. They have taught their tongues to speak lies. They weary themselves committing iniquity. In backslidden Israel, deceit became the very atmosphere of life. And so it is in our day. If it's not in writing, it seems to be a lie. When a nation abandons God, all human relationships become insecure. People begin to exploit one another. Homes and businesses are destroyed because of mistrust. The prophet Micah says this in Micah 7, do not trust in a neighbor. Do not have confidence in a friend. Israel became a nation of lies and lived the lie of paganism. Jeremiah 7:28, you shall say to them, this is a nation that does not obey the voice of the Lord their God or accept correction. Truth has perished and has been cut off from their mouth. Isaiah 59:14, justice is turned back and righteousness stands far away, for truth has stumbled in the street and uprightness cannot enter. This afternoon, I would like to speak concerning the wickedness of lies and deceit that has permeated our society. I wonder if I can find any examples of politicians lying to the public. Every day there's a new story. Richard Blumenthal, Connecticut Attorney General, Democrat candidate for the Senate, was caught lying last month about his military service. He never served in Vietnam, but spoke on many occasions about his service in Vietnam. Then he denied it and lied about his lying. Blumenthal declared, I will not allow anyone to take a few misplaced words and impugn my record of service to my country. Jonathan Edwards, running to be the Democratic candidate for president, when confronted with allegations that he had an affair with Riley Hunter, said, the story's false. It's completely untrue, ridiculous. John Edwards lied. Bill Clinton said about Monica Lewinsky, I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm not going to say it again. I did not have sexual relationships with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. Bill Clinton lied. Robert Reich is an economic professor at Berkeley and was Secretary of Labor under Bill Clinton. In his book, Locked in the Cabinet, he recounts his time in the Clinton administration. In the book, he recalls a speech that he gave to the National Association of Manufacturers and describes a room filled with cigar smoke and angry men who booed and hissed and cursed at him. He made it sound like American manufacturers are evil villains. A well-known journalist checked the videotape of that meeting, and there was no smoking, there were women as well as men, and the audience was polite and friendly. This same journalist found other fabrications in Reich's memoirs. When confronted, Robert Reich simply said, "I claim no higher truth than my own perceptions." I use this example to illustrate the fact that in today's world, people live under the ideology that truth can be fitted to what one wants to say or what one wants the world to look like. If Robert Reich and many like him do not know they're telling a lie, that's even more scary. Their desire to have the world be a certain way is so overpowering, it affects their perception of reality. That's what Jesus talked about, those who are the blind leaders of the blind. Now, people who have a morality based on Christian values have a pang of conscience when they tell a lie. But there are some people, as the Apostle Paul writes about in 1 Timothy 4, those who are hypocrites, liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. There are so many sophisticated ways in which politicians, the media, social leaders are deceiving the public. Let me just list a few. Often, they portray lying images. When the White House was speaking before a group of leaders about the health care bill, they passed out lab coats to everyone present to give the impression that these were all doctors and healthcare professionals who backed the health care bill. It was well known that Jimmy Carter carried his own bags when the media was around to give the impression that he was a common man. Politicians also lie by using scapegoats. They blame the other party for social problems and then take credit for successes they had nothing to do with. They deceive the public by using gotcha politics. Their friends in the media scrutinize the words of the opposition, looking for any statement that can be used to hang the term racism or homophobe on the opposition. That's dishonesty. They plot to discredit their opponent in the mind of the public. They compile lists of the other party's potential presidential candidates, and years in advance, they target those potential candidates in articles and in editorials as being racist and mean-spirited. Look what the media did to the image of Dan Quayle, John Ashcroft, Robert Bork, Miguel Estrada, Clarence Thomas, Sarah Palin. Righteous people can always be portrayed as mean-spirited in the eyes of the ungodly because righteous people hold to God's law, and sinners despise people of the law. Politicians also deceive the public by fabricating a crisis or making a social problem seem worse than it is so that the people will blame the opposition party in power. When they're in power, they claim the economy is great. When they're out of power, they say we're heading for a recession. Politicians also lie by appealing to class envy to give people a villain. They ascribe evil motives to achievers to get the lower classes to hate business leaders and thus vote into power the party of socialism. This is exactly what the fascists and the communists did to get into power. This too is bearing false witness. Politicians also hold to a double standard, allowing their own party to do certain evils, but screaming unfair when the other party does the same thing. That is called the sin of hypocrisy. That is a form of lying. They also lie through statistics. They say unemployment is on the decline. But this does not mean less people are unemployed. But it means that the rate in the growth of unemployment has slowed down. But unemployment's still growing. And they speak about reducing the deficit. The public thinks that this means that the national debt is being reduced. No, it means that the rate of borrowing has slowed down, but the debt is still growing. And when they want to speak about the deficit, they don't speak about it in the traditional way as a percentage of government revenue, but as a percentage of gross domestic product. which compares the national debt to every business activity in America. And that's a meaningless comparison. And so if you're against a proposal, you say, oh, it's going to cost $3 billion. But if you're for the same proposal, you will say, well, it's only 1% of GDP. Political leaders also hide their true intentions by deceptive words, by changing terms. They don't want to call it a bailout plan, but rather something more positive, a stimulus package, a jobs bill. Rather than pro-abortion, they change the name to pro-choice. Everyone wants freedom of choice. The Religious Coalition for Abortion Rights found that abortion had a negative connotation, so they changed the name to the Religious Coalition for Reproductive Rights. But they still believe in infanticide. The homosexual lobby labels the Christian right as homophobes. And that's a lie, because it gives a false impression that Christians object to homosexual marriages out of phobia, out of fear and ignorance, rather than out of a belief in God's law. There are thousands of ways lies and deception are spreading across our nation. So the old joke is true. How can you tell if a politician is lying? His mouth is moving. And what is even more scary is that this lying has become sophisticated, organized propaganda, not unlike the work of Hitler's Minister of Propaganda, Joseph Goebbels. Washington sends out to the media talking points. They strategize how to shape public opinion and disseminate propaganda, because this is the new science of politics. This is the job of the campaign manager, the director of communications, the political advisors, the public relation image makers. Both parties do this. And this is considered good politicking. And the excuse is that all we're trying to do is get our message out there and counter misinformation. But the Christian ethics in politics is to do the right thing and let doing the right thing speak for itself. In the Christian worldview, propaganda that has to put a spin on things to sell it is manipulation, and that is lying. See, the job of the elected official is to represent the people, not to propagandize the people. And because of our belief in the principles of just government, once in office, the campaigning needs to end. But we are a nation that has lost those ethical values. Jeremiah 6:13, "For from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for gain. And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely." Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton were cases in the 1970s that legalized abortion in America. These court cases that were responsible for the death of 50 million children were built upon lies. Norma McCorvey, who was the Jane Roe of Roe versus Wade, and Sandra Bensing, the Doe of Doe versus Bolton, both admitted years later that they gave false testimony under oath. They were coerced by liberal lawyers to fabricate the facts to get the sympathy of the courts. Norma McCorvey lied in telling the Supreme Court that she was pregnant because she was raped. Sandra Bensing lied saying that she wanted an abortion when in reality she never wanted an abortion. In the book, The Marketing of Evil, it documents how Bernard Nathanielson, co-founder of NARLA, lied continually to get abortion laws changed in America. NARLA is the National Association for the Repeal of Abortion Laws. In his own words, he said, "We persuaded the media that the cause of permission abortion was a liberal, enlightened, sophisticated one. Knowing that if true polls were taken, we would be soundly defeated, we simply fabricated the results of fictional polls. We announced to the media that we had taken polls and that 60% of Americans were in favor of permissive abortion. We aroused enough sympathy to sell our program of permissive abortions by fabricating the number of illegal abortions done annually in the United States. Our marketing campaign, bolstered by fraudulent research, was successful. In New York, the law outlawing abortion had been on the books for 140 years. In 2 years of work, we struck the law down. We lobbied the legislature. We captured the media. We spent money on public relations. Our first year budget was $7,500. Of that 5,000 was allotted to a PR firm to persuade the media of the correctness of our position. Nathanielson today admits that he and his abortion colleagues lied left and right. And the most powerful abortion marketing slogan of all was to continually claim that women are dying, so they need to have legal abortions. You know, according to the words of Jesus, those who murder are also liars. Jesus said to the leadership of his day in John chapter 8, verse 44, "You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Evil always operates under the cloak of deception. And notice that both lying and murdering are a package. If your morals are not correct in valuing life, they will not be correct in valuing truth. Do not trust politicians who are pro-choice. Their moral compass does not face due north. Something is terribly wrong with their hierarchy of values, and it will affect every area of their life and policy. But why is all this lying happening in our society? Because without a belief in God and his moral absolutes given to us in the Bible, all things are permissible. It's called secular relativism, where there is no belief in absolutes or absolute truth. Therefore, the only moral basis for right and wrong is that the end justifies the means. Secular liberals pride themselves in that they're free from the laws, that they're not tied down to fixed principles as the conservatives. And it is called the noble lie. Lying is okay if it's for a noble cause, a higher purpose. And for liberals, that noble cause is to defeat capitalism, or to feed the poor, or to redistribute wealth. To save the world from global warming, we must pad the numbers to get the public to act because we assume global warming is a fact. In secular liberalism, you don't have to play by the rules when it comes to helping people. That is, as I define what it means to help people. And you see this philosophy in our pop culture. Woody the cowboy in Toy Story says, "We're going to have to break a few rules, but if it works, it's going to help everyone." Now that's a benign cartoon. But do you see how moral relativism threads its philosophy through hundreds of movies today? Now Christians know the line between dishonesty and the need to deceive the enemy in times of war. But the world doesn't see that difference. So they will deceive to achieve any goal that's for their cause. 1 Timothy 6:5, "These are men of depraved minds and deprived of the truth." Their modus operandi is to lie. And when you catch them lying, they cover it with another lie. And if you press them even further, they will confess, "Well, of course I lied. What did you expect? I'm a relativist. You expect us to operate on the same old-fashioned Puritan morals that you operate on? Everyone lies and it's a game. Isn't it so much fun?" But the Christian does not deceive in order to get ahead. We play by the rules to help people. Now, the secularists think that we're at a disadvantage because we don't lie, and they try to use our own moral standards against us. But we're not at a disadvantage at all. Proverbs 19:5, "A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will not escape." So there are two lessons I want you to take with you today. The first is that you're truthful. I appeal to you not to lie. But given that this is a Christian audience I'm speaking to, I assume that you're already on board in this matter. But what you may need encouragement in is this second lesson. Be more aware of the people and the institutions that are lying to you. We sometimes assume social leaders are telling us the truth when they speak to us. We tend to think the best of people. We tend to superimpose our own moral values upon others. We would never tell a bold-faced lie, so we can't imagine someone else doing the same. Besides, we'd be afraid of getting caught, but not the secular relativists. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves, but be aware of men." Sometimes we forget what the words of Jesus means practically. We are no longer living in an honest world. Well, we weren't living in an honest world 50 years ago, but even more so today. Stop believing all that you hear on the news and what you read in print. As the New Testament tells us, test the spirits. Examine everything carefully. Now, the first generation of moral relativists were able to get away with their lies because the moral absolutists, the Christians, were so used to the honorable ways of doing things in the past that we would not suspect someone is telling us a bold-faced lie. But now the second generation of moral relativists will not be able to get away with it because now we understand that there is a moral shift in society. We now assume people are out to deceive. Understand the propaganda and realize that it's on the increase. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 4, let everyone be on guard against his neighbor and do not trust any brother because every brother deals craftily. Such is a nation that has abandoned God. By way of conclusion, remember what I said at the beginning that this issue of lying is big, really big? It really is about more than telling untruths. This is the battle of the ages, the lie versus the truth. The fabrication of small events in this life are only sub-lies meant to support the one big lie. Satan is the master liar, and the spread of these little lies by his useful idiots only serves his overall plan to promote the big lie, and that is to take God off of his throne. What is the lie? The lie of Lucifer is the creation of an alternate reality, a universe in which God is not God, evil is good, good is evil. And he calls Christianity the lie, and lawless Darwinistic secular humanism the truth. Lucifer's claim is that the problem with this universe is this judgmental God and his people, and that he, Lucifer, is the good God. Satan turns everything on its head. And the lie of Satan is so outrageous that it is hard to believe that it's actually perpetrated upon the world. But this lie of Satan is so serious that it becomes the basis for eternal judgment. In the end, the deciding factor of your eternal destiny is, are you of the lie or are you of the truth? Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 21, 27, and nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into the holy city. Revelation 22, 15, outside are dogs and sorcerers and immoral persons and the murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. This is the sin of the world, loving and practicing the lie. And the great exchange is described in Romans 1:25. The people of this world exchange the truth of God for the lie. And these people are in darkness. They want to believe the lie. But Jesus said in John chapter 3, those who are of the truth come to the light. Well, there is enough gospel given in the last 30 minutes to save any soul that's out there. That is those who are willing to leave the lie and come to Christ. I trust that you will come to the truth. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This has been God and Country Radio. You can contact us at godandcountryradio.org. Our number is 732-583-9286. Check out our website, download programs, request a CD. godandcountryradio.org, 732-583-9286. Let's close in prayer. Lord, you came to earth to give us the truth, and you are the embodiment of the truth. May someone listening to the message today turn away from the lie and embrace the truth, for you are the way, the truth, and the life.